And it's time now for your comments. Last week, we brought you the story of Joan Aroldi, whose library in Washington State was subpoenaed by the FBI.
I was just doing my job one day about a year ago, and I had a phone call that the FBI had stopped in at the Deming Library and wanted to know the names of people who had checked out this book.
The book is Joseph Bodansky's Bin Laden, The Man Who Declared War on America. Jason Newcomb of Middleville, Michigan writes that Joan Aroldi should think more about those who could be hurt in a possible terrorist attack. Obviously, the librarian holds the right to free speech close to her heart. But what about the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? Terrorists wish to deny us all of these. I have a word for the librarian to look up: treason. Listener Carol Venchin is also a librarian. She writes from Coos Bay, Oregon, that the USA Patriot Act, which makes library searches easier, is, quote, hasty, ill-advised, and unnecessary. I want to catch terrorists as much as the next American, but not at the expense of millions of law-abiding citizens.
Joe Orovec of Houston, Texas, found our report ironic. The library was subpoenaed by an administration whose operating credo is secrecy, he writes. Rendered prisoners, Mr. Cheney's fight to keep his backroom energy meetings quiet, on and on. Apparently, these privacy privileges do not extend to the average American. Earlier this week, we had two stories about kids who were probably spending more time in the library. After hearing our report about the rise of students being tutored, Al McDonald of Citronelle, Alabama, wondered whether this was an admission that the public schools have failed. With more tutoring, he writes, it looks like every child is being left behind. Virginia Calvillo finds that many children are left behind in her classroom. She teaches fifth grade for the Santa Ana Unified School District in California.
In order to show academic growth, we were told to select about 7 students who were close to scoring proficient on their standardized tests. These students would get extra resources. Students whose chances were slimmer were not offered these extra resources. We had students 2 to 3 grade levels behind their peers without access to tutoring. Students are being strategically left behind to increase the odds of success.
Some of you told us we might need to go back to school. In our story last week about putting parasites on the endangered species list, we incorrectly referred to long-toed salamanders as lizards. But as Kevin Gardner of Plymouth, Michigan reminds us, salamanders are amphibians, and darn cute ones to boot.
A few more corrections now. In our report from Damascus, we said that 20% of the Syrian population is unemployed. In fact, 20% of the Syrian workforce is unemployed.
And Richard Curtis did not direct the movie 4 Weddings and a Funeral. He wrote it. Finally, we got this note from Lucinda Hedrick of Atlanta, Georgia, in response to our report that General Motors wants to eliminate 25,000 jobs.
Last week, my husband and I joined old friends for a jaunt in a well-cared-for 1999 Buick. Sitting in the back seat, I couldn't put my travel books or umbrella in the pockets on the back of the front seat because both pockets were coming off and ripping apart. The seat belt hurt my shoulder so badly that I refused to wear it. It's the little things that GM has forgotten.
We promise never, never to forget you if you write to us at morning@npr.org. But don't you forget to tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.